What's up, everybody? I am very excited about today's episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast because we're talking about my all-time favorite Viking.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am coming to you from the woods where I have fled to. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Vikings listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement, so use code LOCKEDON at checkout. What's up, everybody? I am talking about my all-time favorite Viking today. I am also coming to you from on the road, so things might sound a little different here for a week. Hopefully y'all can bear with me on that. And if you're coming from the YouTube side and you're just listening now to the audio side, welcome to Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you decided to listen on. Welcome, welcome. You might hear some soothing rain, so we're going to have some cozy vibes today and sit around the campfire and talk about Chris Carter. Chris Carter, growing up, was like a role model for me since before I can remember. I mean, in the youngest childhood bedroom I can remember, I had the old 3D poster, and I had it because of Chris Carter. And he was, like, very much, he was the jersey I had, he was the kid, the guy I looked up to, and he was a dynamic and everything, and he really kind of came out, he broke out as a Viking pretty quickly, like the year, like right before I was born. So I kind of grew up with the Vikings games that I watched since I can remember were Chris Carter games. And that's really fun. But I want to tell you about, I guess I want to use Chris Carter to ask a question. What makes a player great? Like, that's what I want to know. And I think you can look at the greats. I mean, we could sit here and talk about how many sacks Alan Page got or how many, you know, touchdowns Fran Tarkenton threw. But I think a more interesting conversation is, I mean, we all agree that all these people are greats, right? They're all in the Hall of Fame. We agree Chris Carter was one of the greats. What made him great? And I think that depending on which Hall of Fame player you're talking about, you're getting a different answer. And I think we can learn a little bit of something about the game no matter who we ask this about, but let's do it with Chris Carter. So let me tell you Chris Carter's story. You probably know some of it, but I'll try to be as comprehensive as possible. He grew up in Middletown, Ohio. Middletown, Ohio is not a great place. It's kind of a rundown, one of many, you know, rundown black neighborhoods in the Rust Belt, right? And in Middletown, Ohio, if you watch his A Football Life, there's this whole thing about Hood's Corner. In Hood's Corner, it's 16th in Minnesota Street in Middletown, Ohio, and it's like the place where all the people who didn't make it out of Middletown, Ohio go hang out and smoke cigs and drink 40s. And I actually went and looked it up on Google Earth, and there used to be like a mini mart there, which I'm guessing is why that was the corner. They all hang out outside the mini mart where they, you know, buy their cigarettes and stuff. But that mini mart, it looks like it's been bulldozed. If anybody like is from around there, let me know if that's actually been bulldozed or if I'm looking at an old picture or something on Google Earth. But maybe they were trying to break up Hood's Corner or something. But Hood's Corner is not a place you go. It's a place you end up, if you will. It's a place for, in it, at least in the Football Life thing, they talked about it as like a place for failures. You know, that's a place that's synonymous with failure. And there's bitterness in Hood's Corner because a lot of those guys are athletes. You know, Chris Carter says, like, I know a lot of athletes that hang out at Hood's Corner. You know, a lot of people that were just as dynamic as I was, just as, you know, exciting as I was. But for, you know, we know all the reasons that somebody doesn't make it out of there. And we've talked about it on this show a whole bunch these last few weeks. You know, they could be injured. They could be, they could have been sick the day the scout came. You know, they could have just, for whatever reason, you know, their grades weren't right or something, and they didn't make it. And it takes a lot to make it. out of a place like Middletown, Ohio. For Carter, I mean, dad walked out when he was young, so he and seven boys all raised in the same house by a single mother who had her first child at 17. So single mother, didn't even finish high school, raising seven boys. That's the kind of life we're talking about. That's the starting point, you know. Good luck. Are you behind the eight ball yet? You grow up in a town like that, you start drinking at an early age, and then you go up to weed, and then by high school graduation, Chris Carter tried cocaine for the first time, and this would become a demon that haunted him forever. But I kind of think, you know, when we ask the question, what made Chris Carter great, in a way, for the good and bad of it, it was kind of the same thing about him that gave him, like, an addictive personality. And for all the problems it caused him, also, I think, was what got him out of it. I'll tell you a little bit more about what I mean, but first, let me talk to you about Blue Nile. Look, when it comes to jewelry, when it comes to a gift for that special someone, whether it's an anniversary gift or something more serious like an engagement, or just, you know, a gift for because you love someone, don't go for one size fits all right? Don't go for something pre-made that goes, oh yeah, no, make something special. And you can custom make all your jewelry at BlueNile.com. They have 24/7 online experts, so you can do this from the comfort of your own home, but you can consult with somebody that can explain to you what a princess cut is. Do you know what a princess cut is? Because if you don't, you might need a little help, and they have that help for you. So go to BlueNile.com and make your moment sparkle. And Locked On Vikings listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement, so use code Locked On. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging, so it won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Moving on with this episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day every single day. We're talking about Chris Carter, and where we left off was kind of, look, it gets a little dark for Chris Carter, all right, before he gets to Minnesota. And you're probably a little familiar with some of the scandals, but the whole time he was in college, and by the way, despite, you know, being in this small town, I mean, it's small town Ohio, and Ohio is kind of the epicenter of football. So small town Ohio is a little bit different than, you know, small town middle of nowhere Georgia or middle of nowhere, you know, Missouri or something. Like, yeah, people are going to be around in Ohio. It's just, it's football country. Maybe Texas is like the only state that has a claim to being more of a football state than Ohio is. But I digress. So he catches everything, right? This is who Chris Carter is. This is what Chris Carter is known for, is his hands. I mean, his hands are just glue. They're flypaper. Anything within his zip code, he's coming down with it one way or another, and that was his superpower. And that did not go unnoticed. He ends up getting recruited and becoming a superstar wide receiver for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I mean, this is a blue-blooded program, and that's a blue-blood kid. Like, this is a kid that, in normal circumstances, is a top-10 draft pick. But, again, you know, demons going on under the surface. But I mean, he leads the Big Ten in receiving like 3 years running in the mid 80s. Like, he's that good. But it's his senior year when the trouble really starts to get him, and it doesn't have anything to do with the drugs, although he was struggling with that behind the scenes. Who knows how many drug tests he failed and Ohio State swept it under the rug, because that's kind of what happens in college football. And how much, I don't know, I don't want to be too mean to the program, but like, how much enabling Ohio State, it's Ohio State, I'll be as mean as I want to Ohio State, you know, how much enabling a program in college, you know, a big time college football program does for the demons of its players, that's a different conversation. But that is to say, Chris Carter was kind of on top of the world at Ohio State, and then he decides to kind of try to get out ahead of the world before the draft, and he signs with an agent. You can't do that. That's against NCAA rules, and it's kind of seen as a disloyal move. There's a really weird loyalty thing about, like, what are you, like, you know, 1 foot out of the door, you're already sick of Ohio State and all that stuff. He gets suspended for the year, and he's not really very well liked in Ohio for it for a long time, especially in Middletown, Ohio. Remember, there's a lot of bitter people that didn't make it as far as Chris Carter did, going, aha, now that's how you're going to fail. It wasn't that I wasn't good enough. It's that it's an impossible task. See, I was proven right. Come drink a 40 with me on Hood's Corner. people just kind of waiting to take their victory lap and tell you, I told you so, as soon as Chris Carter fails. But it would get worse before he hit his rock bottom, as it were. But he did miss out on his senior year of school, and now he's got this like troublemaker label, as we love to do to wide receivers, right? But now he's a fourth round pick. He probably should have been a first round pick. He goes to Philadelphia, fourth round pick, and he becomes a contributor like right away. I think his first catch was a touchdown, if I remember right, in Philadelphia. Buddy Ryan's Philadelphia, by the way, because he had just gotten the job after winning the Super Bowl with the Monsters of the Midway. So then the drug tests start to fail. And this is where Carter's substance abuse problem gets really dark. And to hear Buddy Ryan talk about it, because he's very open about this now, you know, it's one thing if it was a random drug test and it's, you know, sprung on you and you went to a party that weekend not knowing you'd be drug tested, and it's bad, but it's one thing. It's another thing entirely when you know the test is coming and you can't stay clean for the 2 days leading up to it. That's when you know you have a problem. And Buddy Ryan was talking to his wife about, like, I think I got to cut this kid. And he was good. He was dynamic. I mean, he was Chris Carter. Like, he wasn't playing poorly. He was Chris Carter on the Eagles. But he was talking to his wife saying, I think I got to cut this kid. We can't trust him. He's struggling with substance abuse, and you know, we can't have that on our franchise. I think we got to let him go. And the way Buddy tells it now, he kind of says, and I think that's what he needs. I mean, he doesn't need football. He doesn't need that pressure. He needs to get clean. He needs to get help. I think we have to let him go so that he goes and gets that help. And his wife apparently begged him not to do it because of just how good Chris Carter was, but Buddy Ryan did it. And that's where you get the phrase, all he does is catch touchdowns. This is infamous. You've probably heard of it. But when Buddy Ryan cuts Chris Carter, somebody asks him, a reporter asks him, so why'd you cut Chris Carter? And he says, all he does is catch touchdowns. Which wasn't, that's hilarious, right? Like, oh no, a wide receiver that catches touchdowns. What a horrible thing. But it wasn't entirely off base. Chris Carter was kind of better in the red zone than he was everywhere else. That's a very good thing. That's an awesome trait. And he's always been like a really good red zone threat. And he did like catch a disproportionate amount of his catches were touchdowns. But like, obviously that's an insane thing to say. But that was, in a roundabout way, Buddy Ryan looking out for Chris Carter. Because what was the media talking about? It wasn't talking about how Chris Carter was a screw-up. He could have very easily said, oh, yeah, he failed a drug test, he got cut. Like, that would have been a perfectly legal thing to do. But then the media would have talked about how much of a screw-up Chris Carter is, and he's never going to get another chance, and they would have just started saying all the things that the old guys at Hood's Corner in Middletown, Ohio, said to Chris Carter, and he probably would have ended up on that corner. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if he gets another chance, if that's the narrative. But instead, the narrative is this stupid quote Buddy Ryan said. Now, Buddy Ryan's taking all the heat. And it seems like he knew he was doing that. It seems like he did that on purpose. Because he wanted Chris Carter to get help and to get another chance. And that other chance came with none other than the Minnesota Vikings. So let's talk about his Minnesota Vikings tenure next. But first, let me talk to you about a quick gamble. You can actually go on betonline.net right now and bet on any regular season Vikings game. You got a feeling in your gut for how week 18 in Soldier Field's gonna go? You can go bet on it. I wouldn't recommend that particular gamble, but I would maybe recommend, if you think you know what's going on in baseball or in WNBA, go bet on the Twins or the Lynx. You can go bet on whatever the next fight is, tennis, golf, whatever you got. You can find all that stuff at betonline.net. You can even build weird player props, you know, this guy's going to get on base this many times, or whatever weird stuff. I know you guys love building bizarre parlays, or you can even bet right in the middle of an event or a game with their live betting module. So go to betonline.net and get yourself a gambling at BetOnline, where the game starts. For a mere $100 fee, which was all you needed to do to pick up a player off of waivers at the time, the Vikings got Chris Carter in 1990. That, Jerry Burns, coach at the time, said, best bargain that he's ever had. Chris Carter for $100. No draft picks, no nothing, just $100. Obviously, it's even cheaper today. You just have to put in a claim and pay him the contract. But that was what brought Chris Carter to Minnesota. And he credits a lot of people who were in the organization at the time. The Vikings had a pretty robust drug and alcohol abuse treatment program in their organization. And they had the resources and the help that Chris Carter needed. But Chris Carter also credits Buddy Ryan for, A, giving him the wake-up call that he really needed. You know, getting cut from the Eagles, he says that was the worst day of his life. 4-minute conversation with Buddy Ryan that says, we're going to let you go. That was the worst day of his life. That was his rock bottom. He has been sober since. And not only that, but the way Buddy Ryan did it and sort of falling on a PR grenade so that Chris Carter's career wasn't destroyed and letting him get the help is something that he also kind of, he thanked Buddy Ryan at his Hall of Fame induction speech. And of course, I mean, he thanked his mother, who, by the way, Joyce Carter, let's shout out real quick, drops out of high school at 17, raises 7 boys, gets her degree, bachelor's degree at 40, and her master's at 50. Hero. And he thanked his big brother Butch, who became kind of a father figure to him. You might recognize the name Butch Carter, who was a basketball player and a coach for a long time in the NBA. He was a really good basketball player, and also kind of the father figure that Chris Carter was missing. And I mean, the thing that Joyce Carter always instilled in the boys is that Carters don't quit, no matter what people are saying. And Chris Carter gets clean, and he has the mentorship from Denny Green. After a couple of years, Denny Green takes over, and I mean, Chris Carter has says about Denny Green, like, I owe that man so much, you know, and the Vikings organization as a whole so much for getting his life back on track. And then all he was, truly, all he did was catch touchdowns and big plays and be awesome. You know, and that's what we all kind of, kids like me, grew up watching that version of Chris Carter, the one that was on the straight and narrow, the one that talked about God all the time, the one that mentored young players, you know, the one that there are all these great moments, teaching moments that you can find from like mic'd up segments from 1998 and 99 when Chris Carter was kind of taking along a young, headstrong, similar spot as him, Randy Moss, who had gotten the troublemaker label and, you know, had problems with the law and problems. I mean, Randy Moss just wanted to smoke some weed. It wasn't so much an addiction thing and wasn't nearly as dark of a demon, but it kind of had the same narrative. And Chris Carter had been through it and was taking him up. And he was a leader on those teams, on all those 90s teams, up until he left after the 2001 season and then retired. Like, that's the Chris Carter we all know. But the kind of dark origins that brought that Chris Carter to Minnesota, like, it's a part of your journey. It's a part of who he is, and it always will be. And so to not tell that part of the story, which sometimes you don't get that part of the story. I mean, something like A Football Life is going to go through all of it. But, you know, sometimes you hear, oh, yeah, he got cut by the Eagles because he was getting in too much trouble, and then like gloss over it and then do a bunch of highlights about like, look how many cool touchdowns he caught. And it's like, well, you're kind of glossing over some really important stuff, because that's what makes Chris Carter Chris Carter, and that guy on the straight and narrow. So I mean, what a perfect role model for, you know, 4-year-old kids in Minnesota who were just now figuring out what football was and figuring out like what a first down is. You know, you're starting to get old enough to understand even a semblance of what's going on, you know, how to read a scoreboard. And that's the thing you're exposed to. That's a really good thing. And I think kids my age, people my age, I think we were all blessed to have somebody like Chris Carter to be the superhero athlete that we looked up to. And I think even more so look, when I was a kid, I didn't understand what substance abuse was. When you're 6, like, that's not, you know, you're not quite parsing that out. But for me, you know, I kind of understood him. I mean, I knew that there was like something in his life that wasn't good, but I was just too young to really get the nuances of it. But now in adulthood, kind of understanding his story and understanding where he came from, and then that he became that role model, it's like a more powerful role model. You know, it's that's kind of what athletes are to us sometimes, that I mean, they're superheroes, and you know, if he can do it, anyone can do it, right? Or if he can do it, it can be done, I guess. Maybe is the way to put that. Sometimes we see athletes as infallible superheroes, you know, as literally like Superman. And I think to see them accept those flaws, overcome those flaws, and become something better, I think it's just one of the greatest things sports can do. So I think that's a better story to tell about Chris Carter. I could have gone over all these other cool catches and times that his hands were cool. I mean, that was his deal, right? His hands were excellent. He ran good routes. When Randy Moss came taking the top off every defense, Chris Carter got a gajillion catches underneath because there would just never be a safety, because they'd always have that safety playing on the moon because they were so scared of Moss that it just opened up so much field for him, and then it was just kind of lights out, and that's what made the Carter-Moss duo so much fun, which could be a show in and of itself, just the on-field, like why Carter-Moss worked so well. But honestly, when it comes to Chris Carter, I think the important story to tell is one of somebody who realized he needed to make his life better and then did. That just freaking rules. I don't know, maybe we'll do the Carter Moss thing tomorrow. Maybe we'll do something else. I'll see. Well, we'll just see where the day takes us. But for whatever it is, I will see you all tomorrow. In the meantime, check out Locked On NFL. Check out the Peacock and Williamson show. Check out Locked On Twins Wolves and Wild if you want to hear stuff about like Rudy Gobert. But yeah, go check all that stuff out. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.